You are listening to the Living Greater Podcast, and I am your host, Arne Allemond. Together, we are building a community of people helping others to live greater through fitness, nutrition, and health. We're going. Hey, good morning, everybody. Arne here, and it is March 27th, 2019, about 9:30 in the morning, and I'm sitting with my good friend, Adam Haynes, at Rolling H Cycles in the sweet little town of Nampa, Idaho. And so I want to introduce him really quickly. Adam, can you say hi so everybody knows that I really am here with somebody else?
Hey, listeners, here I am. Not fictitious. Really here in a chair.
It's a real deal. Either that or I am really good at changing my voice. But I'm not, so we know it's true. Adam and I go way back. Actually, Adam, my wife, Nikki, and myself met, that was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy moly. In a bike shop.
Huh.
And what do you remember of that story?
So as Arne had approached me and I had a chance to start thinking about, man, how long do Arne and I and Nikki go back? And I have a vivid memory of our first interaction. We were in our bike shop, and in cruises Arne, and I was mesmerized at his fitness. I looked at his legs, and I was like, good gracious, that guy must ride his bike 24/7. And then I keyed in on a spot on your leg that you had. It looked like literally just a big chunk of skin missing.
Oh.
And you had wrecked recently and had some road rash. And yeah. I was like, gosh, that looks painful. I never want to have that. But there it is. That is the vivid first memory I have of Arne Allemond.
That's fabulous. And thank you for saying that, said to the guy who has forever worried that his legs were too skinny. So
no,
thanks, Adam. We all have our moments. And that skin, never to be replaced. That was heinous. I remember that that moment. That was kind of the beginning and the end of my road racing career.
There it is.
So I'm with you. I think the thing that was endearing to us, I know it was from the start, was just that you are so authentic on the one hand. You're charismatic and funny and witty, all of the things we like to think that we are or want to be, the things that we want to be. I'm not going to speak for my wife. The things that I want to be, I'm like, dude, that guy, he's got it going on. But it was so much fun, and that was one of the things. I mean, Nikki and I, we worked at the bike shop at that point. We called ourselves Moonlighters, and working for the opportunity to help pay for our passion and our pastime, get some good deals on bikes and just be involved and around. But we always looked forward to heading into the shop and seeing you, and we loved it when we were working together with you. So
it was a highlight. I was also a Moonlighter, had a full-time gig at the time, and loved the environment of bike shop. It was inviting. It was fun. There's hardly a time that I can remember walking into almost any bike shop and not feeling just a different vibe. It's like, wow, yeah. this is a cool spot to be. This is fun.
Yeah.
And it's not about the stuff around us, but truly it's the people.
Yeah.
And I would say even at that level at that time, 15 years ago, that rang true. I still stay in contact with almost everybody that I worked with 15 years ago. And I can't say the same about a lot of other opportunities and a lot of other positions. I haven't polled people, but yeah, those are some deep friendships that were crafted and created then from small interactions in a bike shop.
I love it. I think, to tie into that, I have been enamored with the bike ever since my grandfather got me my first bike, and it was back in Virginia. Grandpa went and got it. We were back visiting one day, and he grabbed me. It was a banana seat bike. He rattle canned it red and put me at the top of a hill, and my cousin let me go, and it ended in just this big debacle, right?
Yes.
But I got back up and I got back on. But I often say about my experience in the bike shop, I'm like, those were some of the most fun moments I had, because nobody comes into a bike shop not enjoying it. It's like it is such a fun, just liberating experience to be in a bike shop. So transitioning from that, I mean, I know you've done a number of different things, and even in the interim, and from the time that we knew each other. I believe that you ran a climbing gym for a while, and so you were involved in a fitness space in another capacity. But in that interim, you decided to open a bike shop. So yeah. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I had a full-time job while I was working in a bike shop. I worked for a Parks and Rec program, and that was what my schooling, my degree was in, was outdoor recreation. And my internship in college turned into a full-time job before I graduated, which was a huge blessing. I did that for 8 years while, quote-unquote, moonlighting in bike shops for the heck of it. And at a certain point, I had really desired the opportunity to spend more time in bike shops. That environment was just so fun and so fulfilling. So with the nudge of some business mentors and my wife, I hung up that career in Parks and Rec and opened a bike shop in 2012, which we're sitting in right now, Rolling H. And I really have not looked back. It has started in a very, very humble spot with just a few bikes on the floor and a handful of accessories on the wall, and has really developed into my life's passion and my life's work. Again, not just the stuff around us, but the people that we come into contact with is by far more important than anything that we're surrounded by.
I love it. Well, and so relationships, that's one of the things that, I mean, I did spend a summer traveling out here to the 2C. I joked this morning on my way out here, I called Adam and he called me back and I said, yes, this is Lewis answering and my partner Clark is with me and we're on our trip. Just because of the part of town that I'm in, it's not Adam's fault, it's my fault. But coming out here this morning, the heck was I going with that?
It's a bit of a haul.
Who knows?
A bit of a drive from Avamore out to the 2C.
Oh, no, that wasn't it. It was community. I know that there was a certain purpose for that. Holy moly, gotta tell my story, it's silly. It was community. It was, so one of the things that I have noticed, and that was the point coming out here that summer, is that you have a tremendous ability, in my perception, to generate and create community. I remember that summer, I walked in the door, and you gave me a new T-shirt, and that T-shirt said Roots across the front, and I was like, "Hey, man, what's the T-shirt about?" Good. And this is part of the community right here. Actually, we've got an awesome thing right here. So I'm just going to share. So we're hanging, just wrapping, finishing this up. The shop's open in a few minutes, and Adam's got a group of seven, maybe, high school age teens, just came up to the door waiting to get in. And I think we'll touch on that in a couple of minutes, but that's an awesome thing to see. And so just hang tight on that thought. But rolling with the idea there, the shirt that said Roots. And so, and I remember you told me about that. So do you mind
hitting that really quick? The concept behind the Roots mantra of that season was, we had been open for 3 to 4 years at that point. And what we were realizing was, when we opened, we had a vision and an idea of what we wanted to be. And the longer we were open, we started to realize, man, we might have drifted a little bit from what really got us to this point. And in our winter meetings, we had decided, man, we've got to get back to our roots. We've got to get back to what really drove us to get to this spot. And that was community. Ultimately, we wanted to develop community when I opened up, because I did not feel like that was happening in our Nampa area through cycling. Mm-hmm. And when we made the decision to kind of establish that as our season mantra, it's really stuck. It's really been something that we've rooted ourselves in Nampa. We've rooted ourselves in healthy lifestyles, mm-hmm. active lifestyles. We've rooted ourselves in investing in people. And even though that was the mantra from 3-4 years ago, that really is something that we touch on probably monthly here at mm-hmm. the shop. It's like, how do we continue to invest? How do we deepen our roots in our community and draw in people to join us on this adventure and not just be a retail sales shop of stuff?
Yeah.
And yeah, that Roots mantra is something that we stick with. I was wearing that shirt yesterday and I thought of it. I was just like, man, I love this. I love that concept. It's just, it's invigorating.
Yeah. Well, mine is starting to, the logo is starting to crack, and I probably would have worn it today, but it makes its appearance at least weekly at CrossFit.
Awesome.
So, I love it. And I love the concept. And so getting back to those roots, I think that's an interesting question, because one of the things that, tying into the story that I lost my train of thought on a few minutes ago, is, you know, who do you serve? And, you know, as I look around the shop, and I remember this when I worked with you a couple of summers as well, I walked in and there's a few road bikes, but there's not a lot of road bikes. And it is mostly mountain bikes. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're in Nampa. And again, you know, I talked about the drive. I mean, if you're listening and you're not from the Treasure Valley, please understand, Boise is not your typical metropolitan area. I drove 30 minutes to get here, and that's what I was joking about being Lewis and Clark. So I know most places, if you can make a 30-minute drive and beat a world-class trails that can lead you all the way from the base of Boise, Treasure Valley, all the way to the top of Bogus Basin, which is a sheer elevation climb of 3,000 to 6,000 feet to get all the way up there, that's pretty incredible. I would challenge people to find another city that has a population the size of ours that has that accessibility. And so, so you actually are very close to the world and the community around us. And nonetheless, growing up here, when I think about what's going on, I would envision road bikes, because out here in the 2C, it is miles and miles of incredible, incredible road riding where you're out on rural roads, there's very few people. So how did you start, and how did you get, or have you always, did you come in and all, right off the top, you're like, hey, we're going to go down this mountain bike road?
Yeah, so when we opened, it was interesting to look back. We had probably half dozen tri bikes on the floor. That's what I did for 10 years, was race tries and duathlons. And I thought, man, I've got a great following. I did some coaching in tries. Let's be Nampa's tri shop, kind of multi-sport deal. So we had tri bikes on the floor. We had a handful of road bikes, drop bar road bikes. We had some family commuters, some cruisers, kids bikes. We did not have a affordable hardtails, but I was like, man, we're a bit from the trails. People out here, they want to go out their front door and be there recreating. So road bikes, cruisers, that was our main focus. And over the course of 7 years, we really have seen our market demand a little bit different product. So as we look around here in the shop right now, we've finished our Q1 inventory, and we're sitting on roughly 84 mountain bikes on the floor. And I'm looking over to see what sold over the last week. Maybe 7 road bikes, 7 drop barred bicycles, be that a combo of gravel and road. So yeah, our market really has shifted from tries, road bikes, to a heavy mountain bike scene. And I would credit that solely to our NICA program. The NICA, the Interscholastic High School Mountain Bike Association, has just blown up for us. Our small investment of 7 student athletes our very, very first year really has blossomed into this thriving program out here in Nampa, where we call them our Flatlanders, that we find time and trails and take our kids out into kind of the remote areas and we ride, and they are tough, hardy riders. And it's just the way our market's shifted and moved to a mountain bike scene.
Yeah. That's dynamite, and that's a great transition. I know that was one thing that we wanted to touch on, and again, seeing the teens just roll up and look around. But the idea, like when NICA came in, and so that was 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's the National Intercollegiate Cycling Association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, NICA. And it is a mountain bike organization. Began in Northern and Southern California, and then it's moved out. And the goal is by 2020 to have representation in every state, if I recall correctly. And one of the things that they pitched to us, because we're like, well, in Boise, really the east end of town is the town that's butted up against the foothills, and so that was a concern by a lot of people. It was like, those are going to be the only kids that are going to be doing this mountain biking. And Nike is coming in and they're saying, no, we've got programs in these large metropolitan areas that are nowhere near the quality of the Treasure Valley for cycling and for mountain biking. And we have inner city programs, inner city mountain bike programs, where these kids are going out, and they may not be on the podium in those areas, but they're going out and they're competing. I don't like to use the word participating, because they're not just participating. They're giving everything they have, right?
Oh yeah.
And so they're out there competing and finding this new passion and opening this idea and invigorating this idea even within their families of what's possible. So so you said your first team out here in the 2C had seven athletes.
Yep, seven athletes, and it was a mix of the quote unquote high school programs, actually middle school, 6th grade through 12th grade. And our team of seven athletes was a mix of middle school and high school. According to the program, you have to have four high school students to actually score. In cross country, you know, they basically lowest score wins. You have, you know, your first place runner, your eighth place runner, you add up the scores in between. So we had seven, and basically four high school students and three middle school students.
That's so awesome.
And that year our team actually took, it was either fourth or fifth overall in the state with seven kids, and I was blown away. And last season we wrapped up, we had 35 students. Registered student athletes. Now there's two divisions within the league. There's a D1 and D2. Mm-hmm. That's basically school size dictates the size, or excuse me, team size, how many high school students you have. We were considered a D2. Our D2 team walked away with second overall in the state of D2 programs.
That's amazing. And
we draw from the most rural, remote areas of Canyon County. We have a composite team. And again, flatland Nampa kids, they know how to ride bikes. We get them out into some tough terrains. Our main area that we ride in is the Wilson Creek area. We call it the South Front.
Yeah.
And it's desert. It's sagey. It's rocky. It's technical. It's not, it's wild and rugged. And our kids just get out there, and it's sometimes practice is 85, 90 degrees, and they love it. They get out there and they shred.
I love it, man. And I love that you brought that up. Sometimes I think on the east end of town, or in Boise, Nampa, Meridian, we often view that front as, oh, you know, this is where mountain biking is. And it's a tremendous trail system, totally buff, manicured, smooth, flowy, fun trails. But I think that people forget or just don't know about the treasures that we have on the north or southwest side of town out in the Owyhees. And you know, that's one of the things too. I would hope that knowing just how rooted you guys are in the mountain bike scene out here, it's like, you know, who do you go to find out about things? Well, go to the people that are living it out. And so if you're looking for something, especially early season, like this time of the year, I know I've been seeing your posts. You guys have been riding out there off and on since February, if I'm not mistaken.
We did a January 1 ride out there. We always do our New Year's Day ride. Weather permitting, and this year it was primo. We had 32 mountain bikers show up for our New Year's Day ride. It was roughly 32 degrees. It was sunny. We had an awesome group. And what was even more exciting than our group of 32, when we wheeled up into the parking lot, there was easily 50 vehicles out there. And just 10 years ago, nobody.
Right.
I'd go out there and I would be the only person in the parking lot, on the trails for my entire duration of the ride. I'd come back, not a single vehicle in the parking lot had either come or gone. And now this area is getting exposure, which is great. That's because cool. It alleviates the stress and the pressures of the Ridge River system in Boise. We are seeing more and more people travel out here because of less population on the trails, less congestion, and that's great. It's alleviating, hopefully, some growth issues in the Boise foothills, and allowing riders to come out and still experience that wild atmosphere that we've grown to love. I love being around people. I also thoroughly enjoy some separation, some alone time. And when we can go out on a mountain bike ride and it's you and the bike, or you and a couple of friends, and you can create that kind of space and community, that in and of itself is a rich opportunity that not a lot of places have.
You know, thinking back, I'm just sitting here smiling. I'm like, okay, I hope that my smile isn't uncomfortable to Adam as he's trying to talk.
Nope, not at all.
But if you know me, you know I smile a lot, so it's all good. But I reminisce a little bit back to when I was a kid, And I was kind of the oddball. It was me and a couple of buddies, you know, and I was in junior high. And we lived, for those of you in the know, we lived at 5 Mile in Overland. I got my first mountain bike when I was maybe 12, 13 years old. And so to live there, we would ride from 5 Mile Overland. We would go south on 5 Mile until we hit the desert. Yeah. And so that's probably 10 miles. Mm-hmm. And then we hit the desert and we'd ride. And the thing about being out there is it's just old dirt roads, jackrabbits and sagebrush. I mean, it was not pretty, but it was wild. And then even in the foothills back then, we would go up and certainly there were people out there, but you know, I would never, it's not like it is today. It was just us. We'd drive up to Bogus in the summers and we'd ride the old fire roads. And again, it was just us. We got lost in Cascade on fire roads when I was 17 years old and just crazy stuff. And the neat thing about back then was that mountain biking was wild. Like yeah. You had, I don't know if you remember these, but you had like spokes, spare spokes on your chainstays. That was like integrated into the frame.
Yeah.
Everybody had like a derailleur protector. And you know, you're like, I remember one time we were up and we got a flat tire. We didn't have a pump and a tube and all of this. So I stuffed the tire. This is like, I'm kind of proud of this story. I stuffed the tire with grass and we rode out.
Yes, that before story. Pinterest, before you saw the Pinterest hacks, you're like, how do I get out of here?
Dude, I couldn't Google it.
Yeah,
we had to problem solve.
I didn't even have a cell phone.
It's awesome, no way, not for another 15, 20 years. And so I think that's a great point, is that you can still find that wild aspect. And a lot of times I'm hearing from people that have been in the area for a while that are maybe good mountain bikers, they're in the foothills, and they kind of complain about the crowds. And it's like, well, okay, go up and ride at a higher elevation, you know, so you can go up and ride along the ridge, or go south. Yeah. And there's wild stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable to see. I find myself every season planning a trip, a destination trip, whether that be Moab or Bend. I really want to travel up into Canada and do some riding up in there. But what I've noticed is when we travel all these areas around us, the trails are just as congested as we see our foothills, and these are destination locations for a reason. And what's interesting is the access that we have here in the Treasure Valley is so vast. Mm-hmm. The foothills are just a small tip of the iceberg, but out in the Owyhees, it is enormous, the potential mm-hmm. that's out there and the development that can happen. And with good organizations around us kind of pioneering and steering that route, we're seeing it become more accessible, more safe, if you will. If you're out there and you're in the Boise foothills, if something happens, you wait 5 minutes and somebody's going to ride by you,
right.
Or 10 people are going to ride by you. Out in Wilson Creek, if something goes wrong, you're out there.
You're out there.
It is wild, and there's that fun aspect of it. It's
and you probably don't have cell service out there either, or it's spotty.
Certain areas, you're in the if you're in what's called the China Wall area, mm-hmm. you will lose cell service. But if you find yourself kind of on the lowers, the sandy areas, you do get pretty decent cell service. One of our part-time workers, he is a flight medic for St. Luke's Air. So he's always told me, he's like, yeah, if you do get hurt out there, it's really good lift service. We can get you out of there, but don't get stuck in the China Wall area because we won't know about you and we can't get a bird down in there.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay. I mean, it's sobering to hear that, but that's the reality. It is wild and rugged out there.
Yeah. I've heard of the China Wall area for years and have never gone, so
I may
have to slip out with you, buddy.
Oh, shoot. The next podcast will just in the basin of the China Wall.
That would be awesome.
These sheer cliffs, 200 feet of basalt and lava formations. It is gorgeous.
It's awesome.
It's nothing like what you expect to find out in the desert. You think flat, sagey, rocky, and then you come upon this area that there's these massive rock walls, and you're like, where am I right now? So a neat area.
That sounds awesome. That sounds epic. We'll have to. Okay, it's a date. There I was.
Trail date. Love
on
it.
The wall. So you're in a unique situation, I guess, a unique position. You're organizing and running this 2C program, and then so you're a coach, mentor, facilitator on that side, and then you're also a shop owner on the other side. And so how have you seen within your own walls, how has that program in bringing high school mountain bike racing and mountain biking into the community. How has that, what changes have you seen in the demographic of what's, who's coming in, our parents coming in? I mean, what kind of conversations are you having here as far as people being exposed to the sport?
Yeah, so the exposure's been, it's been interesting. Kind of going back to how we opened, you know, being a focused tri and road bike shop, mm-hmm. we really had that kind of mature, working professional clientele coming in our shop regularly. And we still have that clientele, but what we're seeing a huge increase in is our youth demographic coming in the doors and getting kind of wide-eyed and excited mm-hmm. And really geeking out on the latest and greatest technology. And right beside them is mom and dad,
yeah,
and siblings and yeah. cousins, which is awesome. We're seeing this, really this influx in families falling in love with a family sport, a family lifetime hobby, to the point where I see my high school families targeting destination locations for riding. This week, being spring break, I had two families, entire families, packing up to go to Moab to awesome. Ride bikes. Not just, oh, you know, dad and son are going to ride, but
yeah.
really taking the whole family and gearing yeah. up and going down to these destination places where 6, 7, 8 years ago, that might have been happening, but I just was not seeing that type of exposure.
Sure.
So it's not just, okay, cool, one person's getting into it, but really a whole family's getting into a lifestyle that's,
yeah.
that's inclusive and they're going out and experiencing and creating these memories as a family and not just as individuals.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, I know the Nike slogan is more kids on bikes.
Correct.
But that's something that I've heard the conversations through the winds, and that's the thing that's exciting is, you know, parents coming in, bringing their kid with their bike and then dropping a little aside and saying, hey, I got one too.
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
that's
I really so cool. think the hashtag more kids on bikes has been a good starting spot, but what I'm also noticing is it's becoming more people on bikes. It's
yeah.
not just the kids. It's the dad and moms that have liked cycling,
mm-hmm.
and now that their children are getting into it, they're falling back in love with cycling,
love
and it's trickling into the peripherals. It's,
yeah.
it's moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents are coming to these events to cheer on their kids, and then they bring their bikes with them, and they ride around, and they check things out, and it's not just a, you know, a stick and ball sport where there are spectators.
Sure.
There are truly participants.
Yeah.
around it that, yeah, there's racing going on. These kids are hugely competitive.
Yeah.
But the adults are there to watch and support and also to ride and fuel their hobbies
yeah.
and passions.
I love it. And we're always more connected when we are a part of something. And so I've seen the fanfare. I've been to races and been involved. And from the terms of the local scene, the stuff that's being put out for the high school program, the venues, the way that they're set up, and the fanfare and just the atmosphere, there is no other race that I recall, and something's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, that I recall in the state that is anywhere close to what is being put together for these youth. And I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, you nailed it. The amount of racing that I did early on in my quote-unquote athletic career, whether that be half Ironmans or 100-mile endurance mountain bike races, as I went to those events, they did feel, at the time, it's like, wow, this is big, there's people
right.
here. The first high school event I went to, the very first one for the state of Idaho, there are 250 student athletes.
Yeah.
There's like almost 1,000 spectators at this event. I'm just like, holy cow, this is huge.
Right.
And then last year, we had close to 700 student athletes. And at each venue, each race, there's over 3,000 spectators.
That's amazing.
It's madness. It's the biggest event I've ever been a part of. Bigger than Boise Half Ironman. I've traveled over to Kona and seen the Hona Half. I have
uh-huh.
been for the World Championships. I've heard that is just like the
sure
creme de la creme.
Yeah.
Lots of people. If you're standing on the beach looking up, there are people everywhere. But when we had our state championships this year for high school mountain biking at Bogus, I had the blessing of being the lead photographer all season and kind of traveling around and seeing different spots and really capturing what's going on. There are thousands of people standing and cheering on 6th grade student athletes,
I love it.
8th grade student athletes,
yeah.
varsity men and women, and it is energetic. It's giving me chills thinking about it. Yeah. But this season, we're projecting 1,000 student athletes for the state.
It's amazing.
And there's nothing else in the state growing that nope. fast. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, there simply is nothing that big. 1,000 high school and middle school student athletes. That's incredible.
And that's the number that's being recorded on the books. And so you know that in those families, you've got an equal number of people that probably haven't ridden a bike in the last 5 to 10 years that are now on bikes, whether they're yep. younger siblings, mothers, fathers, whatever, yep. that are out there, like you already said. And that's beautiful. Man, I love that. So, all right, so we've got this resurgence. We've got people coming in, lots of people getting on bicycles and stuff. For the newbie, what is something that, like, if you had 3 tips, number one, I'll throw this one in there so you don't have to waste this one, but buy your bike at a bike shop.
Oh, amen.
And if you want to touch on reasons why, great, but I'm just going to tell you guys, you'll get set up, you'll get the service you need, you got a safe bike, and you're going to, again, community, right? You're not going to get community totally. From Walmart. So, but if you had 2 to 3 tips, for the person just starting out, what would you say? So that the experience is good, because everything's going to be uncomfortable when you start something new.
You know, I'm glad you threw in the purchase from a bike shop. Purchase from a place that you've got a relation with. Find a spot that works for you, whether that is out in Nampa or Meridian or Boise, wherever it is. Find a mm-hmm. spot that you connect with. Mm-hmm. Connect with the people there. Build a relationship so that they can kind of hold your hand through this process. But secondly, kind of even before that, I would say take action. If you have a burning desire to be a quote-unquote cyclist or to be a recreational mountain biker or road rider, find something that excites you and either A, sign up for it, put it on a calendar, find somebody to keep you accountable,
sure.
but declare it. Say, hey, I'm going to do my first Metric Century. I'm going to sign up for a charity event. I'm going to do a cross-country race. Whatever it is, pick one. Put it on the calendar, tell somebody, maybe post it on that animal that is social media to create some accountability, but go take action and do it. And as soon as you do that, it's interesting when you sign your name on the line and say, I'm going to do this, and you tell somebody how much more powerful it is than just saying, oh, I'm going to ride 100 miles this year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you never do it.
Right.
Or I'm going to show up for my first group ride when I have the fitness. No, show up for the first group ride and you'll realize I do or I don't. You have a benchmark and you can start from there. Sign up for a class. Show up to the morning CrossFit and just dive into it.
Yeah.
And start the process. Don't wait until you think you have enough fitness to do that. Just take action and get it. So that's tip one. The long and short of that, take action.
That's dynamite. Yeah.
Jump in. Second tip is kind of along the same lines as number one, but find a group that can keep you accountable, that can encourage you, that can support you in mm-hmm. this journey. Doing it as an individual is very difficult, but doing it as a community and doing it with similar-minded people, whether that's one or a group of 10 mm-hmm. or a group of 100, find people around you that want to do this with you. Find mm-hmm. a support system that really helps you keep going, because there are going to be days when you don't want to do your training workout or go out and ride, or you're going to find an excuse or a barrier that limits you. But when you've got accountability around you and support around you, it does become exponentially easier to succeed, to achieve your goals.
And do you guys offer any, like, what kind of community opportunities do you guys have? Group rides that leave from the shop, road rides, mountain bike rides, all of the above?
We do. As we have grown into quite a bit more of a mountain-centric shop, we are offering fun group ride opportunities mm-hmm. Within the mountain bike spectrum. One event that we did last night that's been super fun for us this year, we call it our Trails and Tacos ride. It's every other Tuesday. And we head out to the Wilson Creek area. We do a 6 to 8 mile loop, and then we come back into town and we commune over tacos.
I love it.
Go to a local establishment, and it's that's the meat and potatoes of the ride. It's sitting around, sharing stories, encouraging, talking about what's up, what's not, and that's. that's the best part of the Trails and Taco ride. Yeah, the trails are fun, but man, sitting around and commuting afterwards is by far my favorite part of that ride. And then we do other group ride opportunities. As the weather and season gets a little bit more predictable, we offer weekly road rides. We've got a ladies group ride that is thriving. There are a lot of ladies that join in on that, and it is ladies specific, which can be, you know, awesome for some women to show up and dive into that group. And then we have co-ed rides as well.
Sure.
So it's something that we offer through the shop, and it does build that community.
Dynamite. I love it. So two great tips there. And I'll give also, we'll talk here in just a second, but I'll give in the show notes links so that you can find out more information about that stuff as well. So, well, awesome, buddy. Well, listen, you know, and wrapping up, I mean, we talk about themes. You guys have themes. So we talked about roots, and that was a couple years ago that I was here in the summer. What is your current state, I guess? Where are you guys going and what's going on? Like, what's the theme right now?
So our theme right now for this season really kind of coincides with tip number one that I was alluding to, is that take action theme. This year we purchased our very own building. We've been in our current space leasing for 7 years. And as a business owner, it's always been my obligation to make sure that we are rooted and that we're not going anywhere. So we purchased a building back in October. We've been renovating it, and it's just around the corner from where we're at now, less than 300 yards away. But we purchased that building, and that was a big step for us. We had to take action in order to do that. And it's a big, scary venture because we signed on the line for that space, but it's been good. But this season, really, 2019 really evolves around taking action and not being crippled by question and what are we doing and this and that, but to really take action to move forward. And you know what? Within that, there's going to be failures, but that's okay. I learn from failures in our what I call state of the H address.
I saw that. I loved it.
Where I kind of evaluated our last, you know, handful of seasons and where we have been, what we're doing, and where we're going. I just spelled it out. I have learned more from mistakes than any other form of learning.
I
think as humans, we grow in that. And you really kind of see who you are as a person when you can look at yourself and look at the failures in life and learn from them. And failures aren't necessarily a bad thing. Failures can be some of the most enriching, positive moments in your life in hindsight. When you look at that and what you take from it and how you experienced it and how you processed it and how you move forward from that really defines you, can define you as a human.
I love it, man. You know, that idea of taking action, every year I pick a word that is going to define my season for that year. And this year's word, and part of this is your statement number two, accountability, right?
Yeah.
Tell somebody. So part of my, I'm becoming accountable right now and I'm owning it, but that's it, own it. That was my word that came to my heart and in my mind for this season of my life this year is own it. And it's that idea of taking action and just being bold. And I can honestly say that you and I wouldn't be here right now if I didn't put that word in front of my face, because before my first podcast, I'm sitting there saying, Arn, you said this was your word, you know, and this is something that's on your heart. And so you need to step out and you need to take action and to do it, because you don't know who it is, but somebody needs this in their life. Somebody needs to hear what's said by either myself or by somebody that's sharing, by you, you know, and these stories that are coming out. So that's dynamite. Man, I'm so excited for you guys. That is absolutely amazing. So absolutely amazing. Well, I know Adam's got to get the shop opened up, and he's got tons and tons of stuff to do. And so I'm just stoked that you gave us the time today. You know, one of the things that we always like to do as we interview is take a minute at the end just to allow our guests to kind of summarize all their ideas in one concise statement right on the moment of how what you're doing is just building this idea and concept of living greater, this concept that people can live a greater lifestyle in the areas of health and fitness and personal development, and how all of those things kind of tie together. And so if I can throw that back at you for a minute, and you want to let us know, like, I mean, you've said so many things, so you can pick any one of them that you want to.
Yeah, I think in summary, It came down to, again, our kind of mantra, not just for the season, but really in life, is to take that action. And that action can be anything in life that you need to be accountable with. And, you know, for us right now, it's taking action, investing in the people around us, investing in the community, investing in ourselves, investing in our family time. And that's really the theme for us, not just now, but for the long term, is to take that action. Not be crippled by decisions and questioning and this and that, but dive in, take that action.
I love it. I love it. And on perfect point, our group of teens came in now that the doors are finally unlocked. So Adam is going to go to work and change some lives. So thank you so much, my friend. So many great little pieces in there, guys. Adam, where can people reach you? Website? You have a web address?
Yeah. So if you are looking, if you're searching for anything, whether that's bike advice or to get involved with the high school program, we can lead you in the right direction. But our shop website is rollinghcycles.com. Really easy, rollinghcycles. And we're out here in Nampa. We're going to be soonly located just around the corner from us, but we'll have information on our website. We're on the social medias, whether that be Facebook or Instagram. Those are our two most comfortable, most visited sites. But reach out, interact with us. We love being a part of the community, and we're not just here in Nampa. We do have a mobile service, and we do offer rides and other community events throughout the year.
Yeah, and look around on the bumpers of cars. It is amazing to me how often over in the 1A I see the Rolling H stickers and insignias. So
awesome.
Yeah,
I love
it's
that.
Dynamite. Awesome. Well, until next time, where we may be diving in from the China Wall.
Yes. setting up very, very remote.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, my friend, and thank you for everybody tuning in today. We will be I'll post all of those links in the show notes so that you know how to get in touch with Adam here at Rolling H, but also Nika and those other organizations. So thanks again, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you for listening to the Living Greater Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed the content, and we ask that you please share with your friends and help us spread the word of Living Greater. Have a wonderful day.